What are the key metrics to measure local SEO success? With Claire Carlisle. The InSearch SEO podcast is brought to you by SimilarWeb, helping you build better SEO strategies with digital intelligence, insights, and data. Hey, it's David. How do you know if your local SEO is effective? That's what we're talking about today with a lady who's Bright Local's local search expert and a Google Business Profile Silver Product expert. And she also works at Claire Carlisle Marketing, where she helps businesses of all sizes make the most of the local search opportunity, allowing her to provide real-world skills and expertise to what Bright Local does. A warm welcome to the InSearch SEO podcast, Claire Carlisle.
Hello, hello. Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hello, hello. Great to have you here. Well, you can find Claire over at brightlocal.com. So, Claire, why do we need local SEO metrics?
Well, what a good question. I think that is the question that everybody should start with before they work out what type of data they need to collect. And when we say, what do we need? I think one of the biggest questions is, what do we need to use it for? So a lot of the time when we are thinking about local SEO metrics, whatever they are, we need to think about, is it for us, the marketers, or is it for the client? So what are we trying to show the clients and how does that fit in with their business objectives? So yes, starting out with what we actually need it for is a really good place before we start putting together reports and other things that might be full of data that nobody can use.
And what are the typical reasons why we may need those metrics? Are we talking about differing requirements from analysing the metrics ourselves to perhaps having internal people requiring a more summarised version of the reports?
Yeah, I think so. So part of the reason that we need metrics might be reporting, but a lot of the reason might be about testing or trying different things. That's another reason we use metrics. But if we are looking at the metrics that we might want to provide a client with, then often the most useful types of metrics are ones that are going to answer a question for them, which is related to their actual business goals. And that means that we sort of avoid having big reports full of fluff and things that don't necessarily affect a business's bottom line. So when it comes to the type of reporting that we're giving and showing to clients, again, it depends on what type of client that they are, and it depends on what we're setting out to do for them as marketers.
Understood. Okay, based upon the goals that we've established with our clients.
Yes.
Superb. Okay, I feel like this conversation is going along the lines of Simon Sinek's book, because we started off with why. Let's move on to the how now. So how do the key metrics to measure local SEO success differ to regular SEO metrics?
Ooh, well, that's a good question. I think that as local SEOs, if we are working with general SEO metrics, then we should probably take those into account as well, because a local SEO doesn't exist aside and separately from regular SEO. You know, local SEO is like regular SEO, but then there's an extra algorithm and there's extra things that we're managing as part of our local SEO jobs. We are going to probably want to take into account all of the things that one would measure for regular. So think about, you know, how much organic traffic are we sending to the website of that organic traffic? You know, how much is converting? Might be a revenue sale. It might be other conversions and micro conversions. So we've got that piece. But then with local SEO, obviously there are other things that people can be doing in the search engine results pages, which we'll need to report on separately. And a lot of that is driven by the actions that people can take on Google Business Profiles, for example. So when we look at local SEO metrics, we have all the regular metrics, however they fit in with the client's objectives. But then we also have a separate set, which can be drawn from actually from a number of different sources that we'll need to look at when we're starting to consider, you know, how successful is the work that we're doing for you. Because a lot of the time as marketers, we're looking to prove value. So it might be because we're trying to prove, you know, our value at helping that business reach their objectives. And it might be because we want to secure additional budget either for ourselves or for internal resource or for digital assets. So a lot of the time we are trying to demonstrate the return on their investment in us.
Tell me about the different algorithm for local search that you touched upon.
Okay, so when we're looking at, as local SEOs, obviously we have the local organic results, but we're also thinking about the map pack, so the 3-pack and the local finder and Google Maps and the Google Maps app. So those are places where people are going to be seeing our Google business profiles. So anyone that does local SEO and works with Google business profiles is very familiar with what we know about how Google ranks those business profiles. But one of the things that we're looking at, and one of the things that is very exciting for us as local marketers, and I'll come back to, is all of those actions that a potential customer can take in the search engine results page. And we won't be seeing those details in Google Analytics. So things like click to call on the business profile, other interactions within the business profile, for example, driving directions requests, bookings. We're having to look at different data sources to understand how successful we are being in driving actions and, you know, conversions that take place, not necessarily on the website.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, so you mentioned different sources a few times there. You talked about local SEO metrics drawn from different sources, and then you mentioned click to call there and driving directions, things like that. So what are a few other different sources of data, and how do we actually collate that data so it can make sense for us?
Oh, I love that. So obviously we have Google Analytics, and if we are adding UTM tags to the links that we add in Google Business Profile, we can actually see what traffic from Google Business Profile ends up on our websites and what it does there. So that is one regular source of information. If we've got all of our events and our goals and our conversions set up there in Google Analytics, we can see the data there, or we can pull it into Looker Studio or whatever we do with that. And then aside from that, as a data source, one of the most important sources for Google Business Profile is the Google Business Profile API. So however you are choosing to get information, you can actually get that from performance metrics in Google Business Profile. But if you're working at scale, you'll probably want to work somehow with the API. So whether that is a third-party tool. And the API changes. I think it has changed. I'm not really a super technical API person, but it's my job to understand which elements of those metrics can be pulled somehow via the API, whether that's with a third-party tool or whether that's, I guess if you are using like BigQuery and sending the data up there and pulling it down into Looker Studio, there's lots of different ways. You don't need to be the specialist on this yourself as the marketer. You just need to know what data you need and what questions we're looking to answer. So the Google Business Profile API will give us information like clicks to call, website clicks, driving directions. There are some other bits and bobs within that that we can use. Another thing is if you are a business that uses call tracking, you could be using the data from your call tracking provider, and you'll also want to pull that into the mix. So we have all of these different buckets in a way, all of these sources of data, which some people might think are the same, but they're actually measured very differently depending on which platform and what functionality it is. So it's quite interesting when we think about, say, for example, a phone call. If we're using UTM tracking, we can see people that come from Google Business Profile go onto our website and then call us from the website. So we can say that that is potentially a direct result from our Google Business Profile. The second one is clicks on the click to call button, which comes from the GBP API. And then another set of metrics might be the metrics that we're seeing from our call tracking provider. So it's essentially three different bits of data, which will all be measured differently and will measure slightly different things. So as marketers, we need to either decide to bucket all of those things together and look at directionality, or we need to think about, I'm actually going to look at these three things individually and look at directionality, but then also put them together, because everyone wants to see a graph that goes up and right, unless we're affected by seasonality. That was a long answer.
It was, yes, absolutely. And there's so many different directions that I could take that there as well. You mentioned BigQuery, and obviously there's so many different types of data, sources of data that you mentioned there as well. Is it always better for an SEO to be using some piece of specialist third-party software to analyze their local SEO success? Or if they only have one location, is it just as effective to try and do the analysis themselves and use tools like BigQuery or Looker Studio just to collate everything together?
I think that is very dependent on the individual organization, because even someone with one location could have a massive turnover and a massive budget for their data gathering and then their data analysis. Because you mentioned the word analysis, and obviously none of this does analysis. The only thing that this is doing is bringing the data in, because it's our job as marketers to actually do the analysis and make sense of the data so we have insights. But there, I would say that there isn't one rule to fit everyone. It comes down to that organization saying, what are the questions that we want answered? And if they find that they can get those questions answered just using their Google Analytics data and just using data that can be, downloaded from the Google Business Profile interface, then that's fine. Obviously, if you've got an enterprise business, if you have many locations, you might find that you want to see everything being pulled into one dashboard, for example, in Looker Studio, that can be shared. So I do think that we shouldn't get bogged down with the implementation piece, and instead we should spend time on the initial piece, which is what questions do we want to answer? And there are lots of people that are working in data gathering and putting together these solutions for businesses that you can engage with. And again, there are quite a few out-of-the-box third-party tools that you can use, especially if you're a smaller business. You know, one I can think of is Jetdo, which has a free connector. So if you have one business, you can use a free connector that connects your Google Business Profile with Looker Studio. And it's a simple dashboard that pulls that in. So that's a one and done free solution for, a small business with one location.
What are your thoughts on identifying bugs in the data? Because we all hope that APIs are going to work perfectly and the way that technology works isn't going to change at all. But there are fluctuations in the way that we receive data. And how do we go about not having a heart attack when the data changes significantly?
That's hard, isn't it? I think not having a heart attack is very important. I think that it's important before we start hyperventilating to, take a moment, think about, okay, what could be affecting this? Because obviously the way measurement protocol changes. So we need to, as marketers, not as small business owners, this is asking a little bit too much of them, but as, marketers, agencies, in-house marketers, we need to be aware of what is happening within each of these places where we collect data. So it could be that there's a bug with the Google Business Profile API. If there is, you might see chatter about that online, or you might see it in the Google Business Profile forum. That's the type of place where I'm seeing, for example, recently there was a bug where driving directions requests went like that. So people were seeing a massive increase. Because the Google Business Profile API has changed measurement protocol, the way that it measures things, people have been asking, well, why doesn't it show this anymore? Or why is my data changing? And that's a valid question. But a lot of the time it might be just because Google or whoever is collecting your data has started measuring it in a different way. So before we sort of think, goodness me, the sky is falling down, we need to take data with a pinch of salt. And we should all be getting used to doing that, because so much is obfuscated within GA4, so much, these are all indicators rather than the truth of what is happening. So that's what I would recommend, is having a healthy aptitude where you question that data and the collection of that data, and we just use it as an indication of what is happening.
Is AI impacting local SEO?
Is the AI question? Yes, it's taking up a lot of bandwidth in local SEO in conversations and content that people are having about local SEO. I guess it is like any part of the online marketing world. People are questioning, where does AI fit in here? Will I lose my job? Or how do I use AI to better streamline my processes or make my output better? So I think that, yes, the same conversation that is happening in probably every single vertical within the digital world is happening within the local SEO niche. And my interest in it at the moment is learning how to best use AI to get better results for my clients and to, you know, improve my own workflows and processes. So that's the extent to which I am involved with AI at this point.
Let's finish off with
the Pareto pickle.
So Pareto says that you can get 80% of your results from 20% of your efforts. What's one SEO activity you would recommend that provides incredible results for modest levels of effort?
I think I'll be totally boring and keep talking about UTM tagging, which can be a one and done, and then it does need to be a slightly keeping up with your tags if you are adding functionality to your Google Business Profile. But it basically means that rather than throwing your marketing efforts against a wall and seeing what sticks, you can actually understand what people are doing and the actions that they are taking once they do get to your website. So if anyone is running a Google Business Profile, 1 or 10 or 100 or 1,000, I would very much urge them to check your UTM tags, check how they sit within the measurement framework of your organization. And then once that's done, make sure that you're actually using that data to better inform the decisions that you're making with regard to your business and your marketing activities.
I've been your host, David Bain. You can find Claire Carlisle over at brightlocal.com. Claire, thanks so much for being on the InSearch SEO podcast.
It was a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening. Check out all the previous episodes and sign up for a free trial of the SimilarWeb platform over at SimilarWeb.com.